Down in your living room, suckers. Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and ride with me is my homeboys, Patrick and Jamie, and we bring in the new year with Thanksgiving G. Oh my goodness, really going down. Hey, but before we get loose, remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PACS Inc., and that's PACSINC. And PACS Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. So for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org, and that way you can learn more about me, Jamie, Pat, and it go all the way down. You can learn more about the shows that we have, the Freedom Train podcast series, the Fix Sports podcast, Lessons from the Screen, and Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Topa, and learn about all our upcoming shows and everything that we have going on the Freedom Train Network, because it go down. I messed that all up, didn't I? Didn't I mess that up?
It's the last show of the year. Keep it moving.
Yeah, I messed that all the way up, didn't I? I'm supposed to be talking about PACS, and I'm talking about the Freedom Train. Go to PACS, PACTSINC.org, and then go to the Freedom Train website. Go to www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about everything on the Freedom Train podcast series, the Fix Sports podcast show. Fit Sports Podcast, Lessons from the Screen, Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Toba on the FreedomTrainRadio.com, and don't forget about PacsInc.com. I told that all the way up, but it's all good, man. It's the last show of the year. Hey, man, people should be used to that by now, so.
Yes.
Yeah, they should be.
Hey, forget y'all, man.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, man. This is going to be a good one. So what we got, Joe?
Man, look here. We're going to go back and revisit some of the shows that we did this year. And then we're also going to look at some of these events that happened around that affected our community. Just have a little fun, you know, cracking some jokes.
That's not this year, because by the time this come out,
well, okay, yeah, well, 2017.
Oh, my God, Mr. Right. Technicality over here.
I got him.
Yeah, are you that guy? Hey, see you next year.
Hey, that laugh was killer. Cranky. Nah, I got to because I don't want us talking about, like, things and then, you know what I'm saying? Feel me? Go ahead, Joe.
No, we don't at all. Go ahead, Joe.
You know, I gotta make it weird. That's my role in this.
Be technical. This, you're gonna hear this in 2018, but this is a recap of 2017, okay, people?
Yeah.
You can't put that together. So yeah. Don't get y'all draws all in the bunch.
I'm doing my job, man. As Joe said, be sure you make every show a little awkward. That's all I'm trying to do.
You achieved that. Now let's go ahead and iron the rest of this shit out. Good job, Pat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So, man, let's take it back. So, last year, the first show we did, what's interesting about what we're about to talk about is we ended the year in the black community the same way we started the year, with some bullshit going on.
That's a fact.
So, the very first show that we did of 2017, the title of the show is Black Empowerment versus the Ego, Which Will We Choose? And we were talking about beef between Dr. Umar and Seti that hadn't popped off up in the black community. And it seems we ended the year with some some of the bullshit between Umar, Tariq Nasheed, Boyce Watkins, and what's the other dude? Sabir Bey.
Is Sabir in that?
Yeah, Siberian did not.
I didn't know Siberian was in that. I know Siberian and Tyreek weren't really messing with each other. I didn't know he was in that whole situation, though.
Yeah, Siberian ended now because I heard, remember, I was talking to you the other day, Pat, and Umar was doing a video about Siberian. To my, this person who been hating on me around Philly, I don't know about his situation in Siberian, but he was saying, basically Umar was saying, dude been hating on him for a long time and all these things, said whatever, whatever, whatever. But all I know is we ending the same year, same way we starting the year with some bullshit going on, and Umar Johnson is the constant.
Yo, man, to all the Umar fans out there.
Go ahead, let them know.
I get it. He is a great speaker. He can articulate himself very well. He makes some very excellent points, so on and so forth. But he has backed himself into this corner that he made up for himself, and now he feels the whole world is against him. Here's the thing. Nobody's against him. But I think he has a problem with people holding him accountable for the things he say and the things he say he's going to do, et cetera, et cetera. So this Umar, he literally champions this bullshit. It's Umar versus the world, Umar versus everybody, when it really isn't. That shit is make-believe. It's pretend. People really fuck with him, but when you start getting into it and start, giving him that work, as everybody should, he kind of feels like, oh, you're hating on me, people against me and all that fuck shit. And beginning of the year, when it was Umar had beef with Seti and they had their little exchange and all that good stuff, I kind of cooled out on Dr. Umar Johnson. It's a lot of things he says that I agree with. I mean, he makes a lot of excellent points, but sometimes that character piece to me, the arrogance, the boasting, that's cool. Be swaggadocious if you need to, whatever the case may be. But at a certain point, you got to actually back that shit up you're saying. And when that whole SETI thing happened and, people start questioning about the school and stuff like that, I had to look, kind of do a self-reflection on myself. Like, yo, am I just being a fan, a fanboy? Am I just, oh, he's cool, he says a bunch of cool shit and I like it, I'm going to just roll with it? I had to honestly look deep inside and be like, yo, this dude ain't really saying what he, doing, he promising the school this, that, and the other, and it ain't happened yet. All the things he says, yeah, he's a clinical psychologist, he's doing this, he's having, meetings with, I love all of that. But if you're going to boast and brag and, say all this number one shit, this, that, and the other, you got to be able to back it up.
Hey, man, but see that right
there. You got to back that shit up.
Like, all right. Well, let me say what I need to say before I start going in on individual personalities. All right. First of all, to be ending the year the same way we start the year is some straight bullshit. It's straight bullshit because, Pat, one of the things we were talking about that you said is a very, very, very important point. It makes those of us who are on the come up trying to do our best to be a force in the black community, it makes others, it makes it harder for them to trust us. Like that it's going to make us work harder to earn the trust of the people because the people are waiting on some bullshit to pop off from us. And we're not even on that lane. And so that's one of the things that I don't like about this. Second of all, they some grown-ass men. So they should have called each other up because from what I saw, this is from what I saw. Thursday, Umar put out a meme on Instagram saying that some dude sent him a message saying that he liked Umar better than Boyce Watkins because Umar jumped in his documentary for free and Boyce Watkins was going to charge him to do the documentary. And so the dude sent that to Umar. Umar posted that. So I know I don't know why, but I just did it. I put my little captions, I commented. You really didn't have to do that, basically. Like, you could have kept that under wraps. So, next thing you know, Tariq Nasheed reposted that with his comment saying, well, Umar, whatever, whatever. Then Umar reposted that saying, we could take it to the streets or we could fight. We could take it to the boxing ring and all that. And then Umar put out a video. Then Tariq put out a video. And, you know, Boyce Watkins over in the corner sneak dissing. So this is how we get to this point. But it's like, y'all some grown-ass men act like some bitches, though. Now, go ahead.
Nah, and here's the thing. We got to address Umar as his own separate self, because a lot of people are doing that I'm seeing, they're addressing the fuck shit as a whole.
But I want to make sure I lay a foundation of the information for people who don't know, so they can have a foundation of what's going on before we go in. Because we got to go in. So I want to make sure people understand what we're doing, because we're talking about, it's one person who's the constant in all this shit.
And that's what I would hope people realize. Like, granted, there's a whole issue. All this shit looks messy. It looks terrible. But what I've learned in my lifetime, you got to do a root cause analysis. What is the root cause of this drama we're seeing? And that root cause of all this drama is Dr. Umar. Sometimes I feel, you know, his ego has surpassed what his initial goal was and what he set out to do. And now I feel he wants to feel that he's on the same level as a Frederick Douglass, his kinsman, as he so says.
I'm the most requested.
He wants that ego, wants to come out, and he wants to feel like he's in the top spot. Everybody wants his spot, this, that, and the other. When I kind of feel like he has to humble himself in a certain way. And I don't think his friends or the people around him, his circle, or even him himself, realizes, just be humble. Like, you're doing your thing. You're giving good information. But all this extra shit, calling yourself Big Papa, number one this, the most requested, and nobody cares, man. Get out of here.
Now, it's interesting that this is happening during Kwanzaa, so that lets you know that by Kwanzaa.
Moja.
Yeah, right. But also, this is also happening on the heels of Umar having to go to trial. Now, one thing me and Pat have been talking about is Umar, what happened to Umar and his license being under question is some bull. It is. But Umar is putting a spin on this real good with his words that if you go back and read the documents, how he's putting it out and how it's read in the documents is two different things. Because he's making it seem like they're coming directly after his license. From the documents that we read, it's basically saying if he's found to have been operating outside of his license, the options are one to pay a fine, or the other would be to take his license, and those are the options that the courts have if he's found guilty. But most of the language was talking about the fines, fines for up to $250,000. Am I right? Am I correct, Pat?
Yeah, the issue is he's operating in an area that he's not licensed to operate. So really the only recourse they have is a fine. You can't take a license from somebody who doesn't have a license. If he had one, there wouldn't be an issue. Not saying he doesn't have a license, period.
Because he does.
Because he is a licensed school psychologist, or certified school psychologist, let me say that. But he is not a licensed psychologist. He is not licensed to provide psychotherapy on an individual basis. He's not licensed to be a psychologist, a counselor of that level on an individual basis. So anytime he offers psychological services outside of in the school psychology setting, he is outside of his realm, and he can't be fined for that.
Right. Now, for what we read on, I read through the documents, and I read through the documents twice, maybe three times. I think three times when I was sitting in there. And I also went to the website. Now, what they're trying to get him on is a stretch, because what they're saying is that he's operating outside of his license through something on his website. And if you go to the website, it's nothing saying, hey, I'm offering these services. Now, he does have those calls, and I think they're trying to pin him on saying that he's operating because he's operating like a licensed psychologist on these calls. But you can't really prove that.
Well, because in the language, and it is definitely petty. Somebody was hunting.
Yeah.
But it says he says he has these weekly calls where he offers mental health services. Or, you know, and you could get him for that because technically he's not licensed. And even to that, we got to, because he's talking about his credentials, there's a difference between certification, there's a difference between having a degree, and there's a difference between being licensed. They can't take his degree. He earned that. He already has it. They can't take it. They aren't trying to take his certification. That's not even up for discussion. But when you get licensed to do something, typically getting licensed involves some sort of government organization, government body, and typically you have to get licensed because it's illegal to do whatever it is you're trying to do without a license. It's the government's way of sanctioning certain quote-unquote important activities. Like you would want your doctor to be licensed. You would want, you know, see, there are certain professions that you would want somebody to have some sort of oversight over what they're doing. So, I mean, not to get too deep into all of that, because it really, like Umar really is, he's playing a game of semantics. I'm honestly, I've been trying to hold my tongue on it because I'm not real sure where I want to place Umar yet in terms of his status in the community. Is he, I'm going to just continue to hold my tongue, but I do want to speak to the followers. Y'all are failing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the job of the followers to hold their leaders to a course. And if you view Dr. Umar Johnson as your leader, then you are failing him by not holding him accountable. You are part of the problem by not checking his ego, by not checking his information, by not making sure that you're not so emotionally attached to him that when he comes under attack, you feel under attack, by not verifying what he has to say. Like, you're failing, and your failure has caused this problem. Well, now the guy that you love is systemically tearing himself down. Like, white supremacy don't even have to put no effort into it. He's literally been self-destructing for the last 4 or 5 years, and y'all have been encouraging him to do it. The man's been on fire, and y'all are pouring gasoline on him.
Hey.
Like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Bullshit. Just being fans. But see, that's the thing. It's like we was talking earlier, it's a fan. Like, when you proclaim yourself as a fan, you proclaim yourself as an irrational person. It's okay to be a supporter, but I don't think the black community needs to be fans of anything.
You shouldn't be a fanatic over nothing.
So, I mean, but once again, like I started off, why are we ending the year the same way we started the year? And why, and it's like, you cannot just continue to do destructive things and get away with it within the community. And that's our community, like you just said. Community is not holding people accountable for their actions. Community is encouraging the bullshit. Because people in this stuff, people are taking sides. Nah, all of them fucking up. Like, all y'all grown men, all y'all got each other's numbers. All y'all could have called each other. Y'all could have called each other, met up somewhere, either going to fight and be friends afterward, or you just be friends. But damn it, do something. But all the back and forth videos and the memes and all that schoolyard stuff, y'all need to grow the hell up, man.
Yeah, the videos and shit is not cool. Even though, and I will admit right here on the air, I did laugh at the Tyreek Nasheed.
That Tyreek video. I'm glad you said it because that Tyreek video was funny as shit. I'm not going to lie, but
laugh.
It's stupid.
I had a moment. I had a moment.
I had about 70.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's really not what you want to see. But then, you know, Jamie made a couple good points, and I think he was the first person recently with this whole scenario to be like, but these dudes aren't leaders. You got to take people for what they give you. So if you want to take information from these dudes, that's fine. But, like, one of the things I did appreciate in the Tyreek video was when he was reading the comments, and the girl was, somebody was like, you're better than this. And he was like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. Right. Because but he's not. And see, that's the thing. Jamie, you watch Tariq videos, right?
Right.
So this is like we said at the beginning of the year. This is what Sadie does. This is what Tariq does. But the difference in this is Tariq has never clashed with, other than Roland Martin. And you could, I don't know where you classify Roland Martin, but Tariq has never really clashed with another person from the black conscious community like this before, because Tariq has this type of behavior for people that he deemed coons and sellouts and enemies of the community. He does that to, he does this either these people all the time, but this is the first time this has happened with another member of the community like that, you know. So
no, and I get it. In the whole situation, the back and forth, I'm probably, it's weird, but I actually get it. From Tariq's side, I actually get it. But here's my thing, and I made this point to you fellas. I made this point earlier. There's a difference between being a follower and being a fanatic. All right? Mm-hmm. Followers actually go out and bang for your shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I made the comment to you fellas earlier, like, the minister, Louis Farrakhan, he has followers. He has people that are going to go out, and they're going to follow every single word. That is followership. What Tariq Nasheed and what Umar Johnson have are just fans. People that are going to support them from an emotional standpoint, but nobody's going out and banging for no goddamn Umar Johnson, and nobody's banging for Tariq. But the difference between the Tariq and the Umar Johnson is Tariq plays his lane. Tariq, no, he knows he's an entertainer. He does that, but he also gives us information. He even said it, and you guys alluded to it, that, hey, I'm not better than this. Don't put me on a pedestal. I've heard Tariq Nasheed say that. Don't put me on a pedestal. And I am cool with that. And, you know, people like, oh, the videos are petty. They are. Them shits was funny as fuck. I'm not even going
to lie. He eats at Umar. Let's just be real. He gave Umar the business. But it's like, you said, like, I would prefer, the ignorant side of me like that, I'm not going to lie, the ignorant part of me like that, I'm just being transparent. The ignorance in me, like, yes, get his ass, Tariq, get his ass. But then the man in me and the person, the black person on me, the man in me that's on cold, it's like, call him up and do that shit on the phone.
But, and here's the thing, and this is probably where I disagree with that, the calling up on the phone part. Umar has been doing a lot of fuck shit lately. Let's be honest.
Right. He has. But that's why I say the ignorant side of me like that he got aired out like that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like in the black community, we feel like all our problems we got to handle internally, this, that, and other. But sometimes, if you even look at different cultures, if you do some real fuck shit and you on some dumbass stuff,
they
publicly. Yeah, exactly.
But they do publicly put you out within their own community. I guess the biggest issue with that with us is it's public in front of other communities.
But we don't have
to a degree. To
we
a degree,
don't have the tools.
Yeah.
Right.
And what I'm getting at, to a degree, it's in public, but it's not in public. Public. Nobody's picking up this on Fox News and all these other stations. This shit literally is picking up on black people who actually give a fuck about what's going on in the conscious community. So, in essence, it's not being picked up. Of course, your little internet trolls who are white nationalists and all that dumbass stuff, yeah, they might pick on it, you know, come and do some little troll stuff. We're not worried about the trolls. But the mainstream media, nobody's paying attention to this inner rivalry bullshit. The black feminists are, because they, you know, they kind of plug into the conscious community. But for the whole part, other than people that are actually in tune with what's going on, those are only people actually paying attention to what's going on. So it's not as public as we may think. But I do feel Umar Johnson needed this. He has, like, trust me, I'm braggadocious. If anybody knows me personally, and none of you motherfuckers listening to this know me personally, so you will not get the privilege of knowing me personally, I'm going to talk my shit for just 1 second. But I'm cool with that. You know, him saying the number one bullshit, this, that, and other. Okay, cool, fine. But when somebody comes and straight up G-checks you and you have nothing, then I'm a kind of call you on that bullshit. And that's what happened with Seti at the beginning of the year. Seti G-checked his ass. Like, yo, blah, 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 blah. Gave him that word. And Umar was, you know, still relying, I'm the number one. I'm Big Papa. The Frederick does it. And it's just like, dog, you got to back that shit up. We want to see something. If we gave all that money, we want to see something. And again, back to what I was saying earlier, the reason, one of the big reasons I cooled out on Dr. Umar is because it don't take all that to build a charter school and just start from something. And I think that's what a lot of people want to see. Just start from something. It doesn't have to be this grand enterprise. Just start from something. We gave him the money. Just start something. And I think slowly, especially now that he's went to war with somebody that's actually going to participate in it, that's actually going to give him that work back.
He actually knocked on a door of somebody who won't stop.
But Tariq,
Tariq, one of the ones that you got to be like, hey man, we're just gonna not look at you no more because we know you're not, because he's still going in on Tommy Sotomayor. That's been what
right
four
now.
Years. Right.
Boy, that dude deserves it, but
he does. Well, Tommy's a coon. Tommy's a flat. But what I'm saying though is, like, I agree. Umar needs to be checked, and Umar is getting checked by somebody who don't mind checking, who got the resources, the platform, and everything that. Of somebody probably needed to check Umar, and he did need to be checked. I do agree with that.
And my thing is, I it's like, okay, forget Umar Johnson. To the people that are in the conscious community, stop like a pledging allegiance to somebody who you agree with on shit like that. That to me, I had a chance to sit back and think about it. It's not Umar Johnson and Tariq that's the problem. It's not. It's the people, literally the people who are like, oh, I don't care, I'm going to support you, I'll stand with you. Shut that dumb shit up. At the end of the day, you're there to get the knowledge. Get the knowledge these brothers are speaking, but you don't have to pledge allegiance to him. Who the fuck is Umar Johnson for you to be pledging allegiance and saying, I stand by you? Like, he has no organization. He's not out there. Like, he does a lot of things. I'm not discounting what the brother may or may not be doing at this point. I'm not discounting that. But on the grand scheme of things, he's not somebody I'm going to pledge allegiance to that I got to ride or die for. Fuck no. He's not even organized to that degree to you to even pledge allegiance to him. All he's doing is lecturing you. Like, relax. Get the information. Apply that shit to your everyday life and press forward. Get on code. That's what I get out from it. But go ahead, Pat. Fuck with it.
No, I just, for me, I mean, I see both sides. I see Tariq's. I understand Tariq's side and him doing what he's doing. And especially if Umar really has been taking shots at the brother for as long, you know, that long. I get it. As a community, we do need to develop the infrastructure and the ability to talk to each other in-house. Right now, we don't have that ability. So the only way we can check each other is in public. And that's disturbing, and that's something that needs to shift. But the reason I struggle with Umar is because I'm in those circles. I have phone calls with people that bring him to town, people that have been trying to get things done. Umar, if he listens to this, I want him to hear people really want that brother to succeed. They really want him to do something. The problem is Umar seems content with the status that he's acquired by speaking. And that is the crux of it, because when you begin to name what has Umar actually done tangibly,
That's what Tariq
asked. Tariq made a real good point when he said that, because I've talked to community organizers all over the country, South Carolina, North Carolina, out west in California, everywhere, not everywhere, but in several places that he's been. He shows up, he makes these grand promises about what he's going to do, and he leaves. And there's no follow-through. The community people can't reach him on the other end unless they're booking for another speaking engagement. There's a lot of bad around this brother that centers around personality traits. And I honestly think he set out with the intention of doing good for the community. But somewhere along the way, he seems to have lost his way and lost his mind in the process. And that's why I said I struggle with him, because Umar Johnson is, like, right now to me, the best analogy I can give is he's like when you purchase a brand new house. You're all excited about it. Everybody tells you that you just made a wonderful investment. You know, it's a wonderful asset, blah, 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 blah. But then when you really look at it under the surface, you begin to wonder, is this house that I may or may not be able to afford an asset or a liability? Is it doing me more good or is it hurting me? Because we all know houses don't become assets until you finish paying them off. All the way up until then, they're liabilities. Now, I know that's not necessarily the greatest analogy, but that's the best one I can come up with at the moment for what Umar Johnson seems to represent to the community. He has the potential to be a wonderful asset, but at the current moment and for the last 3 or 4 years, he's been a horrible liability.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And my thing is, I think the followership should second guess and question. Because trust me, I know what it means to be a follower. I know what it means to be a leader. And as a follower, you have to hold the leaders accountable. Because if your leaders aren't accountable for their actions, then that erodes proper followership. It does. So his followers got to understand, okay, let me take a step back. Let me see the situation. All these beefs and all this nonsense, everything that's going on with Umar Johnson. Let me analyze it. Let me look a little further. What about the school? Do I have real answers on that? Am I just, you know what, going along with it because I'm a fan of this man's work? Am I a fanatic or am I actually being a follower and holding my leader accountable? Don't call somebody a leader if you're not willing to hold them accountable. So my main thing is like Umar Johnson is going to be Umar Johnson. He's made that clear and obvious, right? Yeah. To the people who call themselves followers of him, you got to understand what it means to be a follower and what it means to hold leaders accountable. And I hope that now this whole conversation, this whole beef is going on, he's making videos and all that dumb shit, I hope people are honestly looking at the situation a little bit different, asking questions as they should get proper answers to now. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I know we can't afford to spend another 4 months of the year talking about Umar and his beefs. We spent about 4 months last year talking about Umar Johnson and his issues, whether it be the SETI situation, whether it be the situation with the stripper, whether it be the situation he had with the RGB community, whether it be the situation he had with some promoters out there, I forget where. He had this constant string of issues and beefs with people last year. And before that, the year before that, he was having constant strings of issues and beefs.
This is our third show in 2017 talking about this dude and his issues. The first one was the very first show of 2017. That date was 1/3. The second show was the second show, that date was 1/24, and now it's 12/31.
And we ignored all of the beefs he had in between.
And my last final point on this Umar thing, and the reason I'm kind of just falling back on him, the paranoia this brother has, everybody's hating him. He's backing himself into this invisible corner, and he doesn't even realize he's the reason he's feeling like he's getting all this hate. And that, to me, that set off alarm in me. When you back yourself into this invisible, oh, everybody's hating on me, they want my spot, this, that, and other, that means to me you're feeding off the ego, you're feeding off the greed, you're feeding off all this so-called, popularity you're getting, and you're letting that get to you from a egotistical standpoint. And that, to me, when he said all that, I was just like, dog, this gonna sound dumb as shit, but it made perfect sense in this situation. To all the nerds out there, and I'm a little bit nerdish, what is Spider-Man, what was Spider-Man's uncle? What was his name? Whatever. Spider-Man's fucking uncle. He said, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Umar has great power, and he's showing no fucking responsibility. Everybody's hating on me. Everybody's against me. Everybody ain't against you. I want to see this school built. Motherfucker, if I had the paper, hey, yo, if I would... hey, yo, go get this school built because that shit is dope. But with that great power he has, with having all these people being fans of him donating, he's not living up to the responsibility of it. That's just point blank, period. Fuck it. I said it. Eat a dick. It's 2017.
Straight up. All right. So not to beat a dead horse down, even though that horse needs his ass whooped. Not to continue beating that man. So, hey, I'm going to ask this, Pat. What was one of your most, one of your favorite shows from this past year? What was one of your favorites?
I mean, ooh. I got a collection of shows, actually. I think
run it.
I think all of them, that whole Mental Health Awareness Month thing.
Yeah, I like that. That was good. I like that.
True.
I liked all of those. I thought that was a real good thing. I'm looking forward to next year and running that again. Well, this year, whatever. Y'all know what I mean. I'm looking forward to
2018. Yeah, 2018.
Oh, technological
technical Ted.
Hey, that's what it is. Recent memory goes back to the Maurice Rush and Jasmine Poole interview we did with the Reese Wants Cereal, the autism thing.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool show. You know what? Another really interesting show that I like, most of my favorite shows have been the social discussions. I like the Confederate Monument show as well. I wish we could go back and do that one over, but I did like the show. Just because there's so many more, you know, there's so much more that you want to, like, our social discussion shows be fire, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My favorite show, to be honest, is any show I just say some fuck shit and just get it off my chest, to be honest. But, however, what was the show we did with Marcus Garvey's son?
That wasn't this year.
That wasn't?
Nah, that was 2016.
Oh, all right.
That was 2016.
Hey, yo. To anybody listening to this, I drink Kettle One, and I had a few drinks. Fuck you, it's New Year's. Go fuck yourself. But that show, I could have sworn we did that in 17, but that show was dope. The show what was her name? Swaggart. What? Joe, you know the guest.
That was 2016.
Too. Oh, that's Dr. Swaggart's mother. That was 2016 as well.
God, am I time traveling? Are you motherfuckers ahead of me? God damn. All right.
Yeah.
We did. I ain't gonna lie. This year we did a lot of good shit. I ain't gonna lie. The Health Awareness Month, that was one big thing. That was a great push. And the young lady we did have. Shit, I should have probably wrote down these names, but I wouldn't remember them anyway.
Just pull the damn fight up, man.
We had one young lady. She was in the Air Force prior. She was a veteran, and she dealt with mental health illness. That was a dope-ass show.
Yeah, Evangeline.
Yes, that was a dope-ass show, and I think a lot of good information came out of that. And
if you got a chance, go back and listen to that show.
That was during the Mental Health Awareness Month,
that was my favorite show because she came with the shit. She was, like, joking. She was with it. And what's the young, the other beautiful woman right there in Tallahassee? She goes to the different restaurants and stuff like that. She has her own show on Public Access.
Conversations with Nicole. Yeah.
Yes. Her interview was dope. No, it wasn't.
Nah, that was.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, that was this.
Yo, Pat, you playing me, dog? Don't do that, man. I drive the goddamn butt fuck North Carolina and fuck you up. Don't play me, Pat. But anyway, her show was dope as shit too. I enjoyed that show because I love the guests who actually come with the shits. They're with it. They're joking and you know they're lively with it. And she was very on point. So those two shows were pretty much the highlight of 2017.
Like my standout shows, I guess mine, I got a couple, I ain't going to lie. And I'm going through looking at them now. I enjoyed the conversations with Nicole. I enjoyed her interview. I enjoyed Ms. Barbara Jo Williams' interview. We learned she wrote 22 books and just like what we learned about being an author and getting your information out. I really enjoyed that show. Cat Harvey. I enjoyed her show. I just like her swag, man. Cat swag is on point. And then I follow her on Instagram and YouTube. So remember when she told us that she was going to start a live TV show and a live radio show? Mm-hmm. She doing that shit. She doing it. She's doing it. So shout out to Cat Harvey. Shout out to everybody we named it too. But shout out to her because she says she's doing it and she's doing it. So she a boss doing her thing. But this just as far as interviews. I also enjoy, we enjoy the Erica Camarda interviews every year. So definitely enjoy that because she a champion. Yeah. I think I did this one by myself, but brother IJ Tayemba's interview.
That was
fire, man. Just the information that he gave, like the brother, he wrote the biography for AZ, who was Ace and Paid in Full. So the real Ace from Paid in Full, a dude named AZ, like he was able to do that. So he wrote that book. I ain't gonna lie, I did like that Sit Your Dumb Ass Down, so we're getting on Charles Barkley. Fuck Charles Barkley.
Hey, yo, hold on. You mentioned Charles Barkley, but Charles Barkley just said the smartest, dopest shit just before the end of the year, and we'll get to that later.
Okay. Well,
that reminds me, though, I did like the show, the Fuckboy Show.
Yeah, Damon.
Yo, the Fuckboy Show, I probably said Fuckboy like 800 times.
You?
I think I started that shit. And like,
we called him that over 1,200 times. I'll tell you that.
And I can tell you right now, to all the people over there that think Jay cusses a lot, I'm going to go ahead and let you know. I do. I fucking cuss a lot. I got kids. I don't curse in front of them. But when I'm on this shit, I fucking curse a lot. And don't feel bad for cursing. Like, no. Fuck that, Pat. Shut the fuck up, Joe. Don't feel bad for cursing, everybody.
What?
Every now and then, if you got, like...
That kid one kicking in.
Yeah, get a fuck out. Get a shit out. It was cold as shit out here where I'm at. You know what I said when I got in the car?
What?
Fuck, it's cold as shit. That's what I said. Get that shit out, man. It's 2017... Going to 2018 with a few fucks, with a few motherfuckers, with a few shits. Curse your ass off.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
Me.
Hey. Right, but,
I know that's off topic, but go get back on.
Nah, but we had a lot of great shows, and I think all of our interviews. First of all, we want to thank everybody this year who came through and did an interview with us. You know, we had Candace Johnson Players, had the Born Brilliant Young Women, we had Miss Twyla Reed, we had Miss Patrice Torres, Juliana Smith with the Afrocentric magazine. We had Jackie Calloway and Lindsay Thompson. We had Christopher Everett, Maurice Rush, Jasmine Poole. We had Evangeline Catherine, Professor Carlton Jones, Eustacia Trey with Dixie.
We had PC this year?
Yeah, for mental health.
Oh, that's right.
Had Cara Poole came through, hung out with us. Sam Carter, Terrence Baldwin for Working Class Wednesdays.
Time out. Yo, shout out to Sam, man. Yo, on the low, if you in T-Town, man, Sam, yo, Sam is that dude, man.
His interview was popular as hell, too. His interview was very popular.
Yo, Sam said some shit to me that was just like, it was so regular. And I was just like, that's the dopest shit I ever heard in my life, dog. He said some shit to me that I was just like, why the fuck did I not think of that? Like,
what'd he say?
He was just like, yo, this is a true story, dog. I called Sam. He said, yo, man, I was working for this guy. I was digging a hole on the side of the road. I'm digging this hole. I look up to the man, like, how much more you want to dig? And he's like, dig a little bit deeper. He said, I realize I'm asking another man who's not even in the hole how long I got to dig. So I asked myself, why am I not that person that's telling me how to dig this hole? And I was just like, what the fuck? Digging a hole. Of course, that shit sounds basic and simple as hell and common sense. But when he said it and the way he said it, and if you ever talk to Sam, he has country-ass accent, and it's kind of funny. But that's my boy. When he said that shit, it woke up a part of me, and it got me motivated, inspired to do a lot of shit that I ain't telling you motherfuckers about. But it got me doing a lot of shit. And it's sometimes when I and congrats to Sam, man. He does a lot of great things in the community. He's a very smart mind. And some of the people we'll discount in life, some of the people that we'll set aside and be like, nah, man, I ain't really going to listen to this dude. What has he accomplished? Those are some of the most brilliant minds you have ever witnessed in your life. And I personally want to thank Sam Carter because he set me on a path with that phone conversation. And years later, I'm going to call him back and thank him for that shit because he doesn't even know what he inspired me to become, what he inspired me to start doing. But that guy right there, man, I ain't going to lie, that guy's like the fucking – He's a Yoda. I'm a nerd. That
straight
motherfucker
up.
Is Yoda. I ain't mean to call you a motherfucker, Sam, but you are a motherfucking Yoda.
Hey, all I know is Jamie got the number one channel on Pornhub right now because of that motivation. So y'all got to
understand.
That
is a fact. Yo, hell.
Got to understand.
Porn.com is coming
there
out
it
in
is.
2018.
There it is. There it is. Hey, but quick rundown. We also, like I say, we had Terrence Barber, that Mr. Algernon Ashford, at Brian Keith Wyatt Jr., IJ Tayemba, we had Wayne Chandler, Erica Cromartie, we had Angela Thomas Smith, we had Miss Kristen Wright, who else? Cat Harvey, Janae White, Nicole Everett, Miss Barbara Jo Williams. Miss Barbara Jo Williams was our first interview of the year, so I want to thank all of them for coming and taking a ride on the Freedom Train in 2017. Because it went down and we had some good interviews and some great times with our people. All right, so like, what were some of y'all favorite moments from the past year, just in general? Like, things that we may have talked about on the show, may not, but what were just some of y'all favorite moments or some shit that made you think, man, ain't this a bitch? Either way, you can go either way.
I'm going to let Pat take this one first, because my shit is going to be completely...
What the hell did Charles Barkley say?
Yo, all right, so Charles Barkley, a lot of people missed it. A lot of people missed it. So, you know, they do the TNT, you know, halftime basketball. And Charles was like, hey, first of all, I want to thank the GOP for passing this tax plan. That was the biggest Christmas present I ever got in my life. And he was like, Shaq, you know, they're talking about trickle down. You know what, it's going to trickle down? I'm going to trickle down and go buy me a brand new watch. A lot of people missed that. And what I thought about when Charles Barkley said that, I was like, how many black entertainers, athletes, this, that, and the other, came out to actually speak against the GOP's tax plan that benefited rich people and corporations? Fucking none. You ever notice that?
Yeah. But Charles Barkley just solidified even more why he'll fuck with
us. Yeah, of course. You know, but in his ignorance, in his complete ignorance and fucking around, he realized that a lot of these entertainers that we look up to, a lot of these athletes that we look up to, when it came to the shits, they didn't give a fuck about it. They're like, yo, we ain't saying shit about this tax plan because it benefits us because we make more money than these little fucks that purchase our product. I saw that shit and I was just like, in his complete ignorance, that was probably the most brilliant shit, but most people just skip past that shit as Charles Barkley being a fucking idiot, which he is, but that shit was brilliant. Because think about it. How many entertainers, how many athletes, all these people, oh, I stand with Kaepernick and all that bullshit, were really against this tax plan that really fucks with the middle-class families and all that shit. How many did you see?
Man, people don't even know what the hell going on with that tax plan, man.
Exactly. But that's my point. So you had all these black entertainers. You had the rappers, oh, I stand with Kaepernick, all this fuck shit. But they knew they was in that tax bracket to where they could benefit from the GOP's tax plan, and they didn't say shit about it. I just thought that was funny. And in his comment, which was dumb, which Charles Barkley we all know is a fucking retard. Oh, I don't mean to use the word retard, but it's 2017.
Charles Barkley is a fucking retard.
Okay, leave that shit in the past. It's 2018 when you hit this. But I thought that comment was very interesting. I think a lot of people looked over it. And to me, it just made me analyze it. All these black celebrities talking about all this stuff against black people, we ride for this. Where the fuck was everybody to rally against this tax plan? That, and I had to ask that question to myself. And I was like, all these people on Instagram, Facebook, oh, we stand with this, we stand with Kaepernick and all this bullshit, we pro-black, pro-this. They didn't say shit about that tax plan because they knew it would benefit them.
Well, they Dave Chappelle made a joke about it a little bit ago. It wasn't about the tax plan specifically, but it was about just Trump being in office in general, where he said, you know, when Obama got in office, I just got money, and he was like, all right, guys, let's share the wealth. So now we got a guy in. I want to see what it's like to be, a rich person with a president that's looking out for rich interests. So that wasn't how he worded it. Of course, I'm paraphrasing it because I ain't funny and I don't remember the exact words, but he had a joke. But you bring up a good point.
No, I just thought that was interesting. That's all.
No, that's a good point.
And a lot of people skipped over that.
When we had that show about Betsy DeVos's education thing, you know, when that whole thing, it was a proposal, but that thing literally just, like, she pulled down her pants and took a shit on white people and then wiped her ass with our tongues.
Hey, speaking of that, didn't those HBCU presidents go see Trump this year?
They did.
Or was that? Yeah, that happened this year. Goddamn, so fast. HBCU presidents went to go see Trump and find, like, everybody knew it was walking through some bullshit, but them. And they HBCU president, it's supposed to be smart. Everybody knew, the drunks on the side of the road knew that was walking through some bullshit. They didn't know. But they found out the hard way.
They just got degrees. That's all that means. Like, I'm so sick and tired of people associating degree with education. Look, the dumbest people I've ever met in my
were
life
in college.
Were PhDs.
The dumbest people I met was when I got to college. I tell people that all
Joe,
the time.
Joe, no. Pat, what you just said is a fucking diamond. A lot of people associate, oh, I have these degrees, so I have this level of intelligence and knowledge. That shit is the most furthest from the truth. And I try to oh, my fucking gosh. I had to laugh. But a lot of people associate, oh, I got this degree. That's, oh, this person's smart. They're brilliant. Those people lack some of the most basic fucking common sense I've ever met in my life. Some of the most brilliant people I ever met in my lifetime don't have all the accolades of the people I do know. Don't have the doctor, the MD, and all that extra bullshit. They just have maybe a high school diploma, but they make all the fucking sense in the world. Pat, you know, I discount what you say a lot. You know what? You prove in 2017, you just redeemed yourself. You fucked up the whole 2017
that messed
up. Comment. You just redeemed yourself.
That messed up, man. Hey, that messed up. Hey, man, I ain't gonna lie. One of the things for me being football, this whole football cabinet taking the knee, black people. Because even when I recorded The Fix this morning, one of my questions was, hey, man, am I the only one that's still not watching football? Because if so, I'm going to be mad.
Yes, you are.
You probably are. And,
God damn.
And the sad thing about it, like, I haven't caught any games other than, like, the highlights that come on ESPN or Undisputed, because I watched that shit because Shannon Sharpe's dope. But a lot of people, they kind of faded off with it. They really did. But I think a lot of people didn't see the impact of it. And you saw the NFL, a lot of people didn't notice this, they changed the way they highlighted it once they figured out it was affecting the sponsors. So players are still protesting now, but you don't hear
it's
about
something
it.
Like four Why? Players protesting because, you know, Malcolm Jenkins and them boys and sold out.
It's even more. That's the thing. In what you're saying, Joe, it's even more than what you think are still protesting, but they just don't cover it anymore. They're like, all right, we're not even going to give light to this because Papa John's ain't sponsoring us. And FYI, don't fuck with Papa John's in 2018. Fuck
man, if you still eating Papa John's after that, well, you wouldn't know where you stand. I've said, like I said before, I'll wipe my ass with Papa John's.
You
fuck
said
with
that
Papa
on
John's.
The Fix, though. You ain't say that on this show. So if
you no, but I still said it before. So technically, all right.
Yo, I'm just fuck Papa. Fuck Papa Junior and fuck Papa the Third. Fuck all the Papas and fuck all the Johns. How about that?
I'm just letting people know they need to check out The Fix. because
yeah, you do. I be snapping on folk. I ain't gonna lie.
You know,
I be doing it, so check it out.
Sports, but I think I don't watch sports, but I listen to the fix, so I feel like I know what's going on.
But to your point, Joe, I think a lot of people towards the end of the year, they're just like, all right, fuck it. You know, Cap. And my thing is,
because Cap still don't got no job as a football player.
And that's the thing. Cap isn't going to get a job.
And black people still getting messed up by the police, too.
Yeah, exactly. The Houston fucking Texans are trash. The Browns haven't won one game this whole entire season.
Man, you know how many teams could have had a quarterback.
Exactly. I'm just naming the two that I know for sure that could have benefited from
the Jets.
Colin Kaepernick.
The Jets. I don't even remember the last time I heard somebody talking about the Jets.
But that this just goes to show you how deep racism in America and placism, because they wanted Kaepernick to know his place. That's essentially what it was about, that these jokers would rather lose a whole year than have this guy kneeling for the flag.
Yeah, but
–
Yeah.
And hold on, one last thing about this kneeling on the flag thing. The like a lot of people associate this with military, disrespecting to the military. I'm gonna tell you, it's not disrespectful for the military. And here's why. You can't name me one person in the Army, the Marines, the Navy, or the Air Force that swore to support and defend the flag or the anthem of the United States of America. You will not find it, because that's not in the oath of enlistment, and that's not in the charge for offices. You support and defend the Constitution. And as a part of the Constitution, the people are kneeling for the flags, they have that constitutional right. So anybody still carrying that bullshit over is disrespectful to the troops, that's bullshit. And if you meet anybody that's saying, oh, my dad served, or I'm in the Air Force, and or the Marines, or the Navy, or whatever the case may be, and it's disrespectful to me, call them on their bullshit. They didn't swore to protect and defend the goddamn flag. They swore to protect and defend the Constitution and swore to obey the officers that are appointed over them. Go ahead, Pat. I'm done grandstanding. Fuck it.
I want to make two quick points. One, to definitely to highlight what you just said about the military and the flag. The other point on the military and the flag is that a military man gave him the idea to kneel, or gave him the order to kneel, however you want to frame it.
Yeah.
And if you listen to that man talk, which he was on an NPR interview a couple months ago talking about why he felt that kneeling was okay, he said, in his own words, verbatim, kneeling, I equate kneeling as giving reverence, as showing the ultimate respect. When you kneel before somebody's grave, when you kneel, you typically kneeling is seen as honoring whatever it is you're kneeling to. So just by his logic, the guy that created this whole kneeling thing, he basically said, look, I view them kneeling as paying respect to the flag. So that kind of takes the sting out of it as well, when the military man that created the whole idea of kneeling says the kneeling was meant to show reverence to the flag. That almost actually kind of takes the protest out of kneeling.
Even though Kaepernick should have told that cracker to kiss his ass. But.
Well, to the other point that Jamie mentioned about the power of placism, let's look at how powerful it really is and that it worked. Look at what it did to Kaepernick. He said, correct me if I'm wrong, but Kaepernick wants a job in the league that doesn't want him there and wants him to shut up. And he has said that if I had to go back and do it again, I wouldn't do it. Right?
Right.
So it worked.
Right. I don't think nobody else gonna be doing that no time soon.
But what people gotta understand, and of course, like, don't try to make people who feel that kneeling in the flag, they're not gonna get it. They just caught up. They feel like they got to wrap themselves in the flags. But understand this, if you're logical and all that types of things, that is the essence of what a democracy is. That is the very essence of what a democracy is, being able to challenge the status quo, challenge your government, and not be put in jail for it, not be set aside for it. That is the essence of democracy. For example, is the freedom of press, which is in our Constitution, but everybody wants to buy into this damn nonsense of fake news and fake media and all that kind of stuff. That is the very essence of democracy. When you go to say, okay, you can't kneel for a flag, you have to stand up for a flag, you have to pledge of allegiance, that's not a democracy. That's not freedom. That's forced patriotism.
I'm argue with you on that, though, Jay.
What,
I'm argue
what is
that? With you, one, because it wouldn't be me if I didn't, and two, because I'm on a technicality right now, so ride with me.
Technically,
I understand what you're saying. You're 100% right. But technically, the essence of a democracy is majority rules. But we live in a republic. So if you take republic out of what you, democracy out of what you just said, and put republic in, then now you can't even be caught on a technicality. Because technically then you're right in every sense of the word. But if we're being all whatever, 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 and we want to nitpick, which I am admittedly doing right now because it's the last show of the year, then
nitpicking Ned.
Then we can say that a democracy is simply majority rules, mob rule, if you will. So if I got more people than you, then I rule. And if you go against the majority, typically you get ousted or you get your ass beat. That's why we live in a republic, a nation of laws. The law says
right.
You can do this shit. So you can do it. And that's why I said, I get what you're saying. You're 100% right. But technically, you know, you should say republic where you're saying democracy. But I want to do that, too, because the real reason I'm doing this and I'm being real silly about it is because I've heard people make that argument that you just made about democracy before. And I've heard other people who are further in their feelings discount the entire argument based on that technicality of saying, well, we live in a republic, not a democracy. So whenever I hear that argument now, technically I get what you're saying. It's 100% right, but I don't want that argument to be dismissed because of a technicality, because someone is refusing to hear what you're actually saying, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I think that's the general conclusion that a lot of people are making. Like, no, we respect the flag and majority rules. But you got to, I learned a lot of things. I think 2017 really got me to focus on constitutional stuff, and I kind of went back and studied a little bit more from a Constitution perspective. And if we apply the Constitution, that's exactly what Colin Kaepernick should be doing. Make America Great Again. That's people exercising their democracy, their democratic right, whatever the case may be. That's them exercising it. So you can't say, you know what, I'm going to make America green. I want things this, this, that, and other way, but you can't do this, this, and other. That's contradictory to what you're trying to do. We got to go back, and I hope people – especially 2017, go back and study the Constitution. And the reason I keep mentioning the Constitution, and one big thing that was very polarizing in America in 2017 were gun rights. Before, I would have probably been more on the side of gun control, this, that, and the other. But I kind of changed my opinion on that. Go get as many fucking guns as you want. Black people, go get guns. But here's the thing. Black people are so afraid to exercise that constitutional right because they're afraid that they might die because of it. They might die because they're actually legal gun carriers.
Well, just don't be stupid. But you can die regardless of that. Because don't be like the black dudes who want to go out and show up and march through the streets with their guns, or like the video that they show of the black dude and the white dude trying to show the difference of the black dude and the white dude with the gun when you already know the end result of that. Don't be stupid. Protect yourself, but don't tell everybody your business. And I think that's something black people need to stop doing. And we talk about this shit. We always telling our damn business.
Before you go, Pat, this is video circulating and I feel a certain way about the video. It's this black dude. He's pro-black. He's got his kids
loading weapons, reciting goddamn Nat Turner's. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is
just don't show everybody that.
Why would you upload this shit? And it, to me, it's that ego, that ego part of, I want to get attention, I want to get some likes. Well, fuck it, if you're training up your kids in that way, why would you show that to the world? You just put a fucking bullseye on your kid's chest. You got your kids uploading, oh, this is a fifth mag. That shit ain't necessary. That's stupid, dumbass, I want to be recognized in the conscious community bullshit. Cut that dumbass shit out. If you're going to teach your kids about gun rights and gun safety and stuff, that's stuff that should be dealt with in the household and that does not have to be publicized.
And it don't
cut that
mean
shit out.
Nothing. It doesn't mean, like, so what, your kid knows how to load a gun? That doesn't mean they know how to handle themselves in a gunfight. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. Look,
I
want to
fire
a gun at a firing range, but it was a whole different story when I was at a party in Philly and dudes pulled out their guns and started shooting. This is a completely different scenario. So I don't understand it. But to the other point, if black people really want gun control, if America really wants gun control, this shit is simple. How did we get gun control the last time? The gun control in California came because black people started purchasing guns. You want gun control in America? Black people, go and start buying guns at an alarming rate, and I guarantee you we will get gun control in America. I guarantee
you. And Pat, here's the thing a lot of people don't know. I know we're talking about some crazy fuck shit, but whatever. What a lot of people don't notice, it's not hard to get a concealed weapons license. It's not hard. It really isn't. But people, black people, we've been programmed. We're so afraid that if we get a gun, we're going to be targets, and that's going to give people a reason to shoot us, this, that, and other. Well, they're going to shoot you regardless whether you have a gun or not. We found that out. Historically, we found that out. Get your gun license. Learn how to shoot. Learn these things, and I'm not. And when you do it, don't go be all braggadocious about it. You don't see people from that are in the NRA just posting videos on YouTube and Facebook. Learn how to shoot your weapon. Learn, teach your kids about gun safety, all that stuff.
Everything on down Front Street.
That's because we ain't doing shit for real. Because we still got this drive for attention. When was the last time you seen a KKK strategic meeting on YouTube?
You ain't never seen that shit.
Exactly. I'm telling you, black people, go get your. If you're a law-abiding black citizen, go get you a firearm to protect yourself. That doesn't mean you have to run out, make YouTube videos, or you fucking with a gat and a fucking extendo and all that extra shit. No, I can tell you right now, people are gonna look at you sideways when you show up as a responsible gun owner with a license to carry. I went to the gun range the other day. Dude looked at me sideways. I'm like, bitch, I'm strapped up. What you like? I'm legit. Give me these hollow points so I can go in practice. That's what you got to do. And I'm not saying this is on some militant shit with you over here training to go shoot goddamn who. No, it's just a matter of you protecting yourself. Because that's your constitutional right. Stop being afraid of guns, people. And I get it. I get it. They hold up Chicago as the goddamn worst place.
Man, Chicago is barely in the top 25 of the cities with the highest murder rate.
Joe,
barely
it doesn't
in the
even matter.
20 in the top. The shit about Chicago is totally overblown.
When you mention Chicago, people already thinking of Boys in the Hood and shit. Like, that's what people think.
it's small. It's like towns in Louisiana with higher murder rates than Chicago.
We know that. Statistically, we know that. But that's the kind of, you know, anytime a conservative talk, what about, you want gun control,
Chicago is cold for the black community. When they talk about Chicago, that's cold for all black people in America.
Interesting, because the violent part of Chicago's history, you had a bunch of white people out there killing.
Right, the violent. But hold on. Man, them gangsters, right? White folk.
Majority of the guns that are in Chicago aren't even from Chicago. They know that. They know that. They come into the city. They're not from the city. They come into the city. So my whole point in that is, and I know this shit went all over the map. It's black people. 2018, don't be afraid of being a responsible gun owner. Emphasis on the word responsible, not going out just, you know, flashing shit and all that kind of dumb shit. Be a responsible gun owner. Do that. Hey, if you have to be, if you don't want to be a part of NRA, there's black gun membership programs, whatever you want to call them, organizations that you can be a part of. Yes, you have to pay to be a part of it. Pay your fucking money. Guess what? Those are voting blocks as well. The NRA have pool, if you haven't noticed. These damn Republicans, they vote or they pass laws in accordance to what the gun lobby tells them to do. So we got to organize like that in 2018. Don't be afraid of guns. Educate yourself, number one. Let me say that. Just don't go buy a fucking gun, assume you know it. Oh, I put a bullet in, I squeeze and shoot. No. Take some gun safety. Yeah. Take some lessons. Learn. Teach your children, teach your family, and be a responsible gun owner in 2018. That would be so dope if black people got on that. And I'm not telling you go out and be violent because that's dumb. Just be a responsible gun owner. That's it.
Well, it ain't going to matter. Cause
yeah, that's true too.
I've always thought that the whole gun, if black people get guns, they're going to kill us is interesting because they kill black people for reaching for their wallet. So, you know, but you don't see black people leaving their wallets at home when they drive. You know, the whole argument is interesting to me. If a police, and the police have said as much, if a police feel like shooting a nigga, that's what the fuck they gonna do. Like it ain't, you have a gun, had a gun, didn't have a gun, had crack, didn't have crack. It don't, was retarded, might have been, I don't know. I just felt like busting off 18 shots and seeing how fast I could do it. I don't give a, like, it, you can have a spoon in your pocket. It doesn't matter. If they feel like shooting you in the face, okay, that's what they're going to do because that's what they do. So we're talking about things we're tired of, and I don't want to see people bringing forward that narrative, that whole good cop narrative, because there are good black people too. But ain't nobody making that distinction between the good black people and the bad black people.
Man,
they never make that distinction. When was the last time you heard somebody say, well, all black people aren't bad? There are good black people, too. I've never heard anybody, any white person say there are good black people, too. There are more good black people than bad ones. But we got this shit with the cops. Look, in my opinion, the same logic y'all apply to my people, I apply to y'all. I don't know if the cop that's pulling me over is good or bad, so I'm going to assume he's bad until he proves he's good.
I made this white girl so mad the other day, but I don't give a shit. Because I was scrolling through social media, and I wasn't going to comment, but fuck it, I did it. I did it. So she posted a video about this white cop in Gainesville who singing and dancing with the kids and talking about, oh, he's a good cop. I'm like, singing and dancing in the community don't make no cop, no white cop, no good cop, especially when the black people still getting killed by the other cops and those other cops not being prosecuted or anything at the rate they should be. And these other cops know that these bad cops are doing this shit and ain't doing nothing about it. So until we start to see some action from these so-called good cops, it ain't no goddamn good cops. White girl got mad at me because I said that shit, which is the truth. Until some other white girl came, it was so funny, some other white girl came in and just tore her ass up. Just some other white girl who wanted to be down with black people just tore her ass up. But it's the thing, it's like what we're saying, like, and you can, if you're a cop and you get mad, I don't give a shit. That's your business. But the fact of the matter is, if you call yourself a good cop and you work around bad cops who are doing bad shit and you ain't doing nothing about it, you ain't no good cop.
I go a step further. If you call yourself a good cop and you still got a job and you ain't on parole or suspension or probation or nothing for bucking the system, you're not a good cop.
Right. Lose your job. Like it's other jobs out there. You don't have to be a police officer. You chose to do this. It's like this video where this young girl is having this exchange with the cop in the street, and look, the dude was like, well, this is my job. What you want me to do? Quit? Yeah, bitch. Yeah. If you, like, you are protecting white supremacy and you black and you don't like the shit that's going on, but you're standing there protecting it, quit, you dumb fuck.
But to that point, it's a little bit more complex than that. These guys actually want to, I know cops. I know people.
You ain't gonna change the system. Thurgood Marshall ain't do that shit. You ain't gonna change the system.
And I completely agree with that. But you actually got guys on there who want to make a difference, who want to go out and serve their communities. But because of these internal conflicts and stuff like that, the blue wall of silence that we all know about, they don't want to just give up their career. They actually want to still go in there and fight and make a difference in all communities. And I encourage that because I know a lot of stand-up guys that are going out in black communities that are patrolling and actually trying to make a difference.
But my question is, how do you fight white supremacy working for white supremacy?
Again, and Joe, I can't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. But you also got to have, like, okay, right there in Tallahassee, right? Let's use that example. I'm not going to discourage a black young man or a black young sister to becoming a cop. I want you to. So you get in there and actually try to make a difference. Actually do your job with some type of integrity towards all people. And that's how we make a difference. But if we kind of withdraw from that, because what I do in my life is a little bit different because I talk to different type of people, different types of organizations and different type of races, and they want to do this, that, and the other. And I try to tell them, and I try to give the parallel was like, you can say, okay, yeah, I'm not going to become a cop. They're all bad, this, that, and the other. Well, guess what? That's not going to stop people from becoming a cop. If that's what you feel you got a passion to do, become that, but actually do something to make a difference. To your point, Joe, don't go along with the status quo. If it takes you ruffling some feathers and being an outcast, do that. But if you're doing that to make them good, I'm okay with that. But we can't just say, I want to go so in detail.
Because listen, Guru, you signed up to be a slave catcher. Let's just be real. That's what signed up to do.
I get what you're saying, Jamie, and the situation is nuanced and complex. It is. But, and that's why I added the caveat, if you're a cop and you're not on probation or in some sort of trouble for standing up against the system, you can't call yourself a good cop. Because there have been cops that have come out, they've tried to make a change, they've ruffled some feathers, they've found themselves hitting the glass ceiling underneath the blue wall, and they stuck. And they got to feed their family. They got to provide for their kids, whatever. Look, but at the end of the day, for me, there's a situation has to be in place for me to encourage a young person to be a cop. And that's one of those situations has to be external pressure to create change. The pressure has to come from outside first so that the people inside trying to create culture change have a system in place to back them up, to assist them, and creating that pressure without any external force, they're going to run up against a brick wall that's either going to destroy them or it's going to change them into the type of evil that we see black people in power turning into far too often. So if a young kid is going in and says, I want to be a cop, very first thing I say is, okay, well, why do you want to be a cop? Because if you want to create change, there are a million other ways you can go about doing it to being a cop. If you just honestly want to be a cop, then now we need to talk about how we can get the community around you to create some sort of external pressure so that when you go be a cop, you're not in the system by yourself trying to change it, because that's not going to work. We've seen the system eat up many and many and many and many of people, all of them, who went in trying to change the system. Obviously, it's got 100% success rate because the system ain't changed.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm going to go back to a movie I just recently saw. If you got Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Is that the point?
No. Detroit. Detroit. It's this movie, Detroit. It's about the Detroit riots that would happen. They had a black cop, some racist cops came in there, killed some black kids, and the black cop was actually a co-defendant with the white officers that went in there and killed the kids and this, and other. Shit like that, I get it. That's completely terrible. You can't do stuff like that. But my thing is, and what I come to realize, We as a community, we can't say, all right, don't do this. What we got to say is, all right, if you're going to go do this, you have to have some sort of integrity as a person to perform these jobs and duties. Like, to me, it will feel bad. This is me. I get it. We all different people. We all got different perspectives, and that's what's dope about this show, Freedom Train Podcast. That's a cheap plug, but I'm going to get it in. But anyway, we all got different opinions. To me, I'm not going to discourage a young man or a young black woman to become an officer simply based on the fact of things that are going on. What I will do is say, okay, if that's what you want to do, you need to have a code of conduct, not saying, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be shady, this, that, and the other, but you're going to stand up for what's right, what's true, and what's just. And I think that's the best way to go about it, but I'm not going to tell any young man or any young woman not to do this because cops all black, for black people, this, that, and the other. I get that, and I get the overall consensus in this, that,
no,
and the other.
But my thing is, is it fair? Like, I'm not saying tell kids universally not to become cops. I think that that's foolish. What I am saying is don't send. Like, I'm not going to tell a kid, like, here in Charlotte, where, you know, we've had a few cases of cops killing kids, cops killing black folk and this, that, and the third. I'm not going to tell a kid to go be a cop in a community, in an environment where they're going to be trying to face down the system by themselves, because that's dooming that child.
That's what happens a lot. That's what's always happening, is they're facing the system by themselves.
So, and what's going to happen is 9 times out of 10, even if they have integrity or code of conduct, the culture, that blue wall is going to beat them down until over the years they either assimilate into that culture are they utterly destroyed by that culture. So when I talk to kids, it's not that I'm telling them don't be a cop altogether. I'm saying figure out how we can create a community that is going to support you in your efforts. We need people on the inside and on the outside. If you just keep sending people inside of that monster is just going to keep swallowing people up. But if you have people on the outside doing work, slicing at the beast with the sword, punching at the stomach, creating that external pressure, then those people might be able to go in and rearrange some things because they got support. The blue line knows, well, I can't mess with this person because these people are watching me. I can't do this because they got this backing. And even on the other end, all of the pressure we create is completely useless without people on the inside to create internal change. So we need both. But I think we should create that pressure on the outside before we start sending people inside. Those people
right.
inside also need a community to come back to when they need to relieve some stress, to deprogram a little bit. Come back home. We get you some good grub. We'll talk to you about some crazy shit. You can get back in the feeling like you're part of the community. We love you. All right, you didn't have your break. Now get on back in that beast and get back to doing the work.
But, Pat, you know what you're alluding to? Like, what you're essentially alluding to is how we vote. Our city commissioners, our mayors, well, all that stuff, those are the people that are going to support these officers that come back. Who do these officers support report to? They report to the mayor of their city, X, Y, and Z. So if we're in a predominantly black community and we elect, you know, a mayor, we elect city officials that are actually going to do that, that are actually going to support. Like, perfect example, everybody, people in Alabama elected, was it Doug Jones, Doug whatever? He beat out Roy Moore, the fucking pedophile, which shouldn't really been a vote. But what if this dude gets in office and he just says, all right, black people, I appreciate what you did, but go fuck yourself.
That's what
right?
he's going to do, probably.
Essentially. We haven't got to that point yet, but we kind of know that's going to happen, right? But what if we elect somebody, and this is going to the black community, that says, okay, I know the issues that are addressing the people right here, the people right here in my state, this, this, and the other. When I get in office, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and you hold that person accountable. Now that that person has the support of the local city and the this and the other, it trickles down to where we can actually send those young men and women to police our communities, X, Y, and Z, and they feel they have the support of not only their elected officials, but their community as well. Because these officers, they're essentially, you know, beholden to their police chiefs, the police chiefs beholden to their mayors, to the governors, X, Y, and Z. It's the chain of command. So, to me, the basis of what you were all saying, Pat, is if we put the right people in those government, in those city official spots and this, that, and the other, it makes that transition and actually community policing is what we want to get to, makes it a lot easier and a lot better for our community.
Well, yeah, there's a community, there's a political component, and then there's a NGO, a non-government organizational component, where you're talking about nonprofits that are keeping stats. You start talking about organizations of people that might not be incorporated, that are just watching the police, that are ensuring that they keep an eye on things, whether you're talking about reconnaissance organizations that just film and put stuff up, make it publicly available. There are a bunch of different avenues and things that go into that process. Politics is definitely a big part of it. Anybody that's been listening to the show know that we're fans of local politics. Get involved. But I just, like, we go back to that because we do have this situation now with police officers, and if they're in an environment where the structures are in place for them to not be walking by themselves, go be a cop, man. Do your thing. Do your thing, young dude, young female, young whatever, hermaphrodite, lesbian, gay, whatever you is. Go do your thing. But if you're in an environment where you're going to be walking into that beast by yourself, hold on, young blood. Hold on. Hold on.
Hey,
let's talk about this, because I'm not going to let you just jump into that fire if I can stop you from it.
Let's take a pause and give a shout-out to all the hermaphrodites out there. Shout-out to you. You know what I'm saying? Choose a side. Stick with it. You my people, hermaphrodites. Pat loves hermaphrodites.
I think they might take that as an insult, Jamie.
Jamie, you're on your own on that.
Joe, shut up. You love hermaphrodites. Like,
all the
mic.
There you go. Hey, Joe, y'all want me to give y'all his address? Y'all want his address?
One person who loves freedom of choice. He loves the
1616 Sunnyside Drive. Albuquerque, New Mexico.
If you go to any place called Sunnyside Drive, you are liable to get shot. I know exactly what Sunnyside Drive is in Tallahassee, Florida.
Not in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I said Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, man.
Hey, don't fuck these people up. They go to Sunnyside Drive in Tallahassee. They gonna get fucked up.
Hey,
don't do that.
That's why I told them to go to Albuquerque. Shoot me. Hey, man. Hey, so before we wrap this up, because we're getting around time, we got to wrap this up. Before we wrap this up, hey, start with you, Pat. Give us one of your highlights of the year, man. One of the things that you proud of that you accomplished in 2017.
Oh, man. It's the proudest. It would have to be getting this curriculum implemented in schools.
Cool. And
for those who don't know, Pat created a Black History curriculum, and we created it last year, I think.
Three years ago,
somewhere around there. Anyways, it finally finished through all of the hiccups, and we actually got it implemented, and a few homeschooling collectives and charter schools. So that was pretty big. There's been a lot happening, but that's probably been my proudest moment.
Cool. What about you, James?
Man, honestly, I would say mentorship. 2017, I can honestly say I mentored a lot of young men and young women out there in the community, and that's something I take pride in, man, because I know coming up, I didn't necessarily have the right people telling me a lot of different things. Joe, you know me. Man, ninth grade, mm-hmm. I played all the sports possible in high school. And what a lot of people don't know is I experienced, like, three deaths in the family that devastated me, man. And I stopped playing all sports. Because I didn't have the proper mentorship and stuff like that guiding me, and I kind of lost my way. That's just me. But being, you know, 33, you know, I'm kind of old, got a family, got a wife, you know, I'm doing my thing. I was able to mentor a lot of good young men and women this year, and I was able to actually steer them away from a lot of mistakes I made and actually give a lot of guidance. And I'm going to take the time to give this one example. I ain't going to say no names, But I got this one young man, man. This situation broke my heart. Young man, good kid, came from a good background, similar background, single parent, this, that, and the other. But anyway, you know, tried to do his thing, ran into a few obstacles, had to come back home, reset, had two kids he had to take care of. Kid isn't even 21 yet. Hit some tragedy. One of his daughters was murdered by the boyfriend of one of his baby mothers. And had to go through that, then have to go through these other challenges. The kid's got, physical disabilities and stuff like that. He can't really do what he wants to at a time. And I'm just proud that this young man found me, of all people, someone he could look to for guidance and support. So when I really look back on 2017, I look back on the people I mentored, that was probably the most proudest moment, man. Like, there's a lot of young people that I still contact to this day. They come to me, and they look to me for guidance and support. And I'm only 33. Like, I sound old as shit. I look old as shit. But go fuck yourself if you feel that way. But these young people.
Your mustache.
Hey, you know what, Joe? You're on my list for 2018. Anyway, they found enough trust in me to come to me and just sit down. A lot of the times when I'm into it, it's just sitting down, just having a conversation, kicking it with them. And this is young men, young women, and me just giving them the information and giving them showing them mistakes I made in my life so they can learn from it. And I can honestly say that's the most important thing that has happened to me in 2017 is being able to guide people and from the experience I got in my lifetime and kind of push them for it and guide them through their tough situations. And a lot of these people, man, they're doing great now, and I take so much pride in that. So my mentorship game, I really stepped that up, and in 2018 I'm going to take that shit to the next level. Joe, you can eat a dick. Go ahead.
In ninth grade.
This is a true story. People who know me, and I hope none of you motherfuckers know me. But anyway, people know me. Like, I didn't have a lot of great mentors early on in my high school career. And I just stopped doing shit. Like, I literally just quit everything because I was going through shit. I didn't know how to handle it. So I just quit shit. But I wish I had somebody in my corner to give me that mentorship and kind of guide me and say, shut the fuck up. Do this. Do that. Look at this. Look at that. And being that I'm able to do that now as an adult, man, that shit means the world to me, man. I'm actually saving young men and women from making the same mistakes I did. So that's been my highlight of 2017. Joe, I know your biggest highlight is making gay porn, but go ahead.
I wasn't trying to go deep. I was just because you said you played every sport there was to play, so I was being technical again by saying you didn't run track, but you just kind of like went all deep and shit.
Nah, I did everything. I played baseball, football. Jamie, I did weightlifting.
Joe, he's still missing it. Go ahead.
Yeah,
but
Joe
did gay porn in high school, so it doesn't matter.
He retired. So, man, I guess for me, 2017, man, growth, like being able to see the growth in On the Shoulders of Giants, being able to see the growth in the Free to Train Network, growth personally, and myself making changes, my credit together, like basically all my shit together. I'm trying to buy this house, man. That's where I'm at, buy the house. So I'm in the house buying stage. So I got my shit together even more than I did in the past. And it's just rolling into 2018, man, just doing more shit I always wanted to do, traveling more. But the growth in 2017 that I was able to make, the growth that we were able to make as a collective, doing this Freedom Train podcast on, you know, with PAX, being able to see PAX Inc. On the Shoulders of Giants, Professor. Being in the, like, we in the movie this year. We in the movie in 2017, 2018. So we got a chance to film and be a part of Professor's movie. So the last time I was part of a movie, I was an extra getting on the school bus. So this is big. That makes me feel good. And just, I know one thing that I'm going to do different is making sure that I kind of not concentrate on the things that I haven't gotten and concentrate on the things that I have got. I think that's one of the mistakes I made this year. But overall,
I had a good. I felt like 2017 was a good year. Felt like we did a lot of things we were supposed to do, and just 2018 just got to make it better. But like the growth, the personal growth, and the professional growth, the spiritual growth, all those things there had some setbacks in some areas, but was able to overall have a good year and grow and make it better, and just trying to be better moving forward. So that's me.
Yo, true story. Joe lost his hairline in 2017. That's why he's saying setbacks. That's a true story.
Oh, you know what? That
he ain't even got eyebrows now. Yo, true story. He ain't even got eyebrows, and he can't even grow a mustache. But go ahead, Pat.
He can't grow a mustache. But that reminds me.
I mean, everybody don't have booty hole hair on their top lip like Jamie. Like, I have a mustache. I just have no booty hole hair mustache. Oh,
it's not a mustache. It's called a flavor saver.
Flavor saver, yeah.
Hey, yeah. All right, hold on. Let me have my good husband moment. So, probably the greatest, because that was my greatest, like, organizational, professional accomplishment. But the greatest accomplishment is that I spent the whole year married to my lovely wife.
Oh, Pat, you ain't getting no ass tonight. Like, stop trying to get
you
those,
I'm
dog.
Not.
Like,
she ain't even
going
to hear this, so it really is no benefit to me saying it, which means that it's even that much more genuine.
I'm getting me a girlfriend in 2018.
You drunk because you ain't getting no ass. Nah.
I'm hating on Pat. Get the fuck out of here with this.
You wish,
this love,
you wish
shit.
You would have said it, right? You wish you would have said it, right? 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 You wish you would have said it, right? Jamie, your wife probably listening to the show right now. Listening to you record.
I've been married 18,000 years, Pat.
I have not
been
married.
Jamie,
why don't you go take another swig, bro? Go take another swig, bro.
Trying to get some kudo points. Hey, yo, I hope you don't get no ass tonight.
You see how black men be hating on other black men? Where's the brotherhood, right? Where's
get
the brotherhood?
Nah, because you trying to do some lovey-dovey shit.
Where is the brotherhood?
Hey, baby.
See how brothers can't express their emotions, Joe? You see how that
goes? Yeah, I see that. I see that.
This
Jamie
ain't
the
late night love channel, dog.
You
hey,
see
I just
that?
Want to give a personal shout out to
you
my
see
wife,
how it is?
Who I've been together for
then,
a whole
and
year.
And then you see y'all
hey,
brothers,
cares, Pat.
Brothers are raised to be stone cold killers. Now if I'd have been like, hey, I just want to say I'm gonna stab my wife in the neck tonight, y'all'd have been like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, boy. Do that.
That's some hard shit right there. That's some hard shit.
Man, shut up, dude. You ain't gonna shut up, man. Shut up. Hey man, all in all though, man, it was a good year, man. We had a good time going in this year, man. The Freedom Train Podcast, man. Y'all make sure y'all ride with us in 2018, because it's gonna get even much better in 2018. We have a lot of great interviews coming from all around the world. A lot of good social discussion shows. You know, we're trying to do our best to stay on top of what's going on, man. It's going down. It's going all the way. Jamie, what's up with your show?
Man, hopefully we get that kicked off. I got a lot of fuck shit going on. Anybody that knows me don't need to fucking know me, so you don't need to know what I got going on. But that shit should be coming out in 2018, so go fuck yourself.
Hey, as you can see, Jamie has anger issues when he's on Kettle One. Can't be telling people
fact.
To fuck themselves the whole night, so yeah. Guess the real
that's
Jamie
fact.
Is here. Yeah. Hey, man, but hey, I'm Joe. That's Patrick. That's Jamie. This is the Freedom Train Podcast series, man. We get to the end. Hey, when y'all hear this next year, just remember that we the realest that you ever heard in your life. And it got to go down like that. Peace.
Oh, shit. And your man's not hot.
Give him up, more fire.
I got it.